Disclaimer: The Good Divorce Podcast is unscripted, authentic conversations with genuine people. Real life is hard sometimes, and that means sometimes these stories may contain content not suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to another episode of The Good Divorce Podcast. I'm Tom Kendrick. Thank you for joining me, especially listeners in Fort Worth, Texas, Colorado Springs, Colorado, North Liberty, Iowa, and Chagrin Falls, Ohio, and even across both ponds from the United Kingdom, Belgium, and Australia. Tonight I'm grateful to hear Patrick McMullen's story and share in his experience of learning how to be a dad, what it took to move through the legal process, and growing into a place of being one large, blended family of supportive parents. And now let's take off into the interview with Patrick McMullen. Before I take off into the interview, I'd like to take a moment to make space for anyone who is currently within the process of divorce or just getting started. If you're listening, know that you are not alone. Whatever you might be feeling now is true and valid. You will get through this. It is difficult, and you can do it. Tonight, I'm excited to have Patrick McMullen on the podcast, and I'm sure you're wondering, like I am, who is Patrick McMullen? So, Patrick, would you tell us a little bit about your background and who you are?
Sure. My name, obviously, is Patrick McMullen. I'm a 42-year-old father of five. I've got two kids with my ex-wife that is the topic of this particular discussion. And then my current wife and I have three girls. I'm a defense attorney based out of Waterloo, Iowa. I live in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And then all five of my kids live here in Cedar Rapids as well. The oldest two live with mom, but I have visitation with them. And then her and I exchange the kids as needed based on our respective schedules.
So to start out with, I always like to ask kind of the same similar questions to get going. What is your divorce story, and define what good means for your situation?
Boy, if Lauren actually listens to this, I'm sure I'm going to hear about it. I got divorced 10, 11 years ago. My son is 14, and then my oldest daughter is 11. I actually told Lauren I wanted a divorce when she was, 6 months pregnant, 7 months, something like that. Anybody listening, go ahead and judge. Everybody else has. My dad was very ill at the time. I was going through some very emotionally trying times that I didn't quite know how to, deal with or handle. And don't get me wrong, that was not the basis, and I'm not placing the blame for our divorce on that, but it did play a large part. Since that time, we had our rough patch to start off with. Undoubtedly, it did not go well initially. And then when I got remarried, there was some really rough times as well. And I'll go into that later. But over the last 5, 6, 7 years, things have gotten demonstrably better. Her and I are, I would actually say, as close as we've ever been. Maybe not in that way, but in terms of what I can talk to her about and how much I trust her, and how much we lean on one another. Again, not in that way, but as far as separated parties can rely on one another.
And do you have a definition for what good means for your situation?
Oh, I forgot about that. Sorry. Good. you're talking to a guy that lives in gray areas. So at least in my opinion, good can mean different things for everybody. For me, good means that if I need the kids for something, she is willing to listen. And unless she absolutely needs them herself, she's more than happy to let me take them, and vice versa. I'll give you an example. Here about a month ago, one of my 2-year-old twins had a seizure at about 7-8 o'clock at night. And I obviously there were three small children at home with me, and I called Lauren and I said, hey, Ella just had a seizure. We need to take her to the ER. We don't know what's going on. Would you be willing to take Piper and Harper? And her response was, I'll be there in 5, or I'm leaving right now, I think is what she actually said. And she then again was here in 5 minutes. No questions, no problems, no concerns. It was one parent to another, I'll be there. And she took the other two girls, took them home with her for the night, took care of them overnight, was in consistent contact with me throughout the evening, just checking on Etla to make sure she was okay. But that to me is what good is. When you, regardless of what happened, what's important is the kids' well-being, making sure that everybody is safe and healthy. And if there's anything you can do to make sure that the kids are taken care of, without question, that to me is good. And something that Lauren and I have done very well with, and I don't, Tom, I don't know if you were aware of this or if I mentioned this, but one of your prior interviewees is my former sister-in-law, Erin. And Erin and I have met for drinks, even after Lauren and I got divorced. But focusing on the good in people, even if the marriage wasn't successful, focusing on how good people are, and how you can help bring up your children to be loving and caring, regardless of your own personal situation, that to me is what good is.
All right. Yeah, I really appreciate that your experiences there, and just being able to describe for everyone what good is for you. And I also appreciate your honesty in sharing how the beginning can be rough or difficult, and it has its hard parts that over time you're able to kind of sort yourselves out and move forward. So I like that. Very good. What was the toughest part for you? And as you were in that, what did you do to try to stay positive?
The toughest part, I would actually say, is twofold. The first really difficult part, I think at least, was when we got divorced. Obviously, we had a son that was almost 3, I think. I'm not sure about the dates. I don't do dates that well. But then obviously, our oldest daughter was born. I told Lauren that I wouldn't file before Hannah was born. And her and I worked very hard so that every weekend, even though we had officially split up, every weekend either I would go to her house that she had just rented, or she would come to where I was staying at the time. Every weekend, again, just so I could have a relationship, or as much of a relationship as possible. But the difficult part for me was when my son was born, I was still in law school, and a lot of the parenting, I would actually say that the vast majority of the parenting fell on her. I had very little role initially in terms of being a father figure to my son, because my focus was on graduating. And so then as we were going through our divorce and the time period thereafter, I was still trying to learn on the fly how to be a dad while going through this process. And I had no idea what I was doing. I was not prepared, I guess is the best way to put that. And it was very difficult for me. It probably took me, I'd say a year, year and a half after the divorce to finally be comfortable as a father. Because it was never a question of whether I loved my children, but I certainly was not prepared to be a dad. And I was utterly clueless. Lauren, God bless her, is way more natural at that sort of thing than I am. It was a steep learning curve for me. So that was the first part. The second part is when I was in the process of getting remarried, and I don't want to bring this up too much, but it's important to mention. My current wife is Catholic, and I'm not. Lauren is not. But in order to get married in the Catholic Church, we had to go through the annulment process, and that did not go over well. There were quite a few hefty lumps along that particular path. And I said before we started, Tom, that there weren't many things that I wouldn't talk about, but I'm not going to go into too many details about that, only because as far as I'm concerned, it's water under the bridge and it doesn't bear repeating. But I will tell you, it was rough.
Certainly. Yeah. I can understand especially understand learning how to be a dad part myself, just in raising my own two boys, and the types of things that I've read and the types of resources I've looked at. A lot of it for me, I find is what's most helpful is that nobody knows what they're doing when they're a parent. So I feel you there on being prepared and or feeling not prepared, I guess. So I can understand that. So when you were in those things, what did you do to stay positive?
The first portion, I'm not even sure how to say this, but I went through a period there where right after Lauren and I got divorced, where I guess was trying to, and again, I don't know how to say this, but I was trying to live my life based on how society defines a parent. So, you know, I was going on dates here and there, and I was trying to figure out how best to incorporate another person into my kids' lives. But eventually I hit a point where I said, this is not working. I am absolutely miserable. And I finally just said, I'm done doing this. I'm going to take a step back from everything, dating wise, social life wise. I'm going to focus one on me, but two, and more importantly, on how to be a dad. So I taught myself on the fly how to keep a schedule, how to cook for three, how to be that parent that I had, at least up until then, not had to do, I guess, on a full-time basis. And admittedly, it wasn't a full-time thing, but still, like on the weekends, I had them. I devoted my attention to if I'm going to end up being a single dad from here on out, I got to figure out how to do this. And so I did. I taught myself on the fly how to do it, and I ended up loving every single minute of it. That is some of the best times my older two and I had, because it ceased to become looking at the next step. Instead, I changed my mindset into living in the here and now. And I know that sounds cheesy, but that was really important for me because I had not done that. I had not allowed myself, or forced myself, I guess, to learn how to be a dad, single or otherwise. And when I finally forced myself to do that, it was spectacular. We had so much fun. The second part, then, going through the annulment, boy, there wasn't a way to find joy in that. I got to be honest with you, that was just a very unfortunate short term problem. I tried really hard to explain to Lauren what it meant on my end, to no avail, as it turns out. But I knew full well that if I just wrote it out, it would eventually just get better. It did. There is some level of understanding, I think, now that wasn't there then. But there wasn't a whole lot of finding the good in that situation. That was just a weather the storm sort of deal.
Sure thing. I can understand that. Yeah, there's definitely parts and pieces that, like you say, you just have to weather through. I can feel that for sure. I definitely had those bits and pieces myself. So I appreciate that. Kind of going to switch gears a little bit and kind of go towards, did you use a collaboratively trained attorney for your legal proceeding? And how did you decide to move forward together in that collaborative way, if you did?
At the time, part of my practice was family law. And so I knew, I guess, kind of the ins and outs of the legal process. Technically speaking, neither of us used an attorney. I represented myself. I drew up the documents. I explained to her what I thought was likely to happen. Should we go into a full bore, knockdown, drag out legal court case? I recommended somebody for her to run my opinions by, which she then did. That attorney confirmed that I wasn't blowing smoke up her butt. But I mean, when she moved out, my statement to her, and I don't know if I said it literally, but my opinion was, look, you take what you need. You're going to need this stuff for the kids. I will find stuff to survive on my own. And I believe that. And even to this day, I pay child support, but if there's something above and beyond that the kids need, it's my opinion and it's my view that I owe half that. And that goes, every other year we split school supplies. Every other year we split school shoes, sports, we split. I mean, everything. It is my obligation to make sure, and this is my opinion at least, to make sure that my kids have what they want, and I pay my fair share. But we didn't go through an attorney, because I mean that's what I did at the time. I will tell you, only because this makes me laugh to this day, there's a class in Iowa that you have to take. It's called Children in the Middle. And what it is, and I'll paraphrase here, but you sit in a room, you hold hands, you sing Kumbaya, and you learn that it's okay, or you're taught that it's okay, and you're supposed to put the kids first. And it's sad that so many parents don't know that and that they can't do that. But Lauren and I actually went to Children in the Middle together. We sat in the front row, and we mocked the poor guy or the poor gal that was running the class so much, because it was so ridiculous. Like, don't fight in front of your kids. Well, no shit. I mean, that's stupid. But again, so many people can't do that, or they don't know that. But we rolled our eyes so hard that we ended up ending the class just because of us, about a half hour early, and then walked out shaking our heads going, who doesn't know this?
Right. Yes. Also a Iowa resident, and having been through that, I'm with you there. You're right. It is unfortunate that the reality is that class has to exist. Probably even more unfortunate that, like you said, there's people in the class who don't get it. I will say from my own experience anyway, my class was based on a book called Between Two Homes. I mean, it covered this kind of that same material that you were mentioning, but I got a little bit out of it anyway, just because it was an attorney who taught it. She had a divorce attorney, and she also had real life experience having been divorced herself. So her bringing that experience into it, at least for me, made it useful because she could share stories of real stories of what not to do. And I think that helped it for me anyway.
Sure. And I don't want to make it seem like I am saying it's not a good class. Just for her and I, intrinsically, both of us kind of just knew. And I, again, because of my job, I have seen the horror stories. And I knew going in, there's no way in hell I'm going to let that happen. And even in the darkest of times, you know, back in the very beginning, right after we got divorced, when things were just really rocky between the two of us, both of us knew, and we've talked about this so much since then, this has nothing to do with our children. And there, even if you and I hate each other right now, there's no way we're ever going to bring the kids in. But not only that, neither of us will ever say anything negative to our children about our families, about our belief systems, about anything. We'll have open conversations about disagreements, sure, but it will never be a, you know, your dad's stupid because of this, or your mom's stupid because of that, because that's not fair. You can't put that on a child. And again, it's some people are either incapable or unaware, but that was never an issue for us.
Sure. Yeah. It's definitely a good thing to hear somebody such as yourself be able to explain that and say that and just put that out there, because people do need to hear that you're right. The divorce has nothing to do with your kids. And so don't put them in it. I guess speaking of kids, then how did you explain what was happening to your kids, or did you need to at the time because of their age, or were they too young, I guess?
Both were too young. Hannah, obviously, was an infant when it happened. She never knew any different. And actually, this is probably the first time I've ever admitted this out loud. One of my biggest fears as a dad to her is that somehow I lost part of that connection by not being there full time when she was really, really little. I would hope that she's seen what I've done since and then doesn't question, but that is still that will forever be a gnawing fear in the back of my heart, that somehow she was cheated out of something because of what happened. But Ben, our oldest, he was so young. Just another day in paradise to him. It just, you know, weird. Now I'm going to dad's house. Now I'm going to mom's house. It never bothered me.
Yeah, it's interesting how when they're young like that, they can bounce back and forth and just grow up knowing that it is normal. And suddenly when they find out their friends, you know, all live in one house, they go, well, that's weird. So what sort of resources did you find and use to help yourself, books or other things like that, therapy at all?
So I did go to therapy. To be fair, just so we're clear, a lot of the therapy that I went to was dealing with the death of my father. As I was dealing with that, though, a lot of stuff between Lauren and I became more crystallized in my head, so I could understand a lot more about some of the pratfalls that we dealt with. And I have a much better understanding now of what went wrong for us than I ever did then. I was laughably immature, both in the early parts of our marriage and then the couple years after our marriage, I don't necessarily think it would have changed much. That's the answer to another question, I suppose. But realistically, I didn't have many resources that I needed, because a lot of the stuff that was going on were things that I needed to just figure out on my own. And again, I saw the black, dark side of what divorce can do to couples. And I was insistent that that would not be me, it would not be us. And so I guess, yeah, I went to counseling, but legitimately my job is what kept me on the right path, I suppose.
Yeah, I can see that for sure. It's definitely a help to know in advance what that looks like from that particular side, and to be able to decide for yourself that that's not going to be you. So that's obviously a good resource for sure. Are there any sort of resources that you wished you had?
I wish I would have gone to counseling 2 to 3 years before I did. I wish I would have known the questions to ask. To me, Tom, that's a loaded question, because in hindsight, everything is easy to point out, but when you're living in it and you're going through it, there's no way to know. I can look back and I can point out, that was wrong, that could have been done different, but I didn't learn that, or I didn't realize that until years later. In my second marriage, I didn't realize how awful I was as a husband at the time. And so it's impossible for me to say what resources I wish I would have had, because I think with time, you end up just learning. And a lot of times, time is what it takes. I think I would actually venture to guess that most time is what it takes.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. And you're right. There is definitely a part of it that's you're living in a sort of crisis mode. And, when you're in that, you're kind of tunnel visioned in on whatever it might be. And so you're unable then to really find those things that might be helpful at the time, for sure. So I can appreciate that answer. What is one thing you would say to someone just embarking into a potential divorce or separation?
With kids or without?
Good question. Let's start with kids.
You're talking to a guy that talks for a living, so bear with me. This may seem a little soapboxy, and I don't mean that, but my answer still is the same. I tell people that are going through divorces, something that I mentioned earlier, but it bears repeating. I don't care what you feel about your soon to be former spouse. I don't. I don't care if you hate them with the passion of a thousand suns. I don't care if you miss them and you disagree wholeheartedly with this divorce. End of the day, you have kids, and those kids don't know any better. And God damn you, do not allow your personal feelings, good, bad, or otherwise, to affect how you raise those children. Do not allow any disagreements to come out in front of them. Do not make snide comments about them. Do not make snide comments about their uncle in front of them, because they are not a part of this, and do not put them in the middle of this. Don't. Anything you do along those lines is a disservice to those children. They are innocent. Do not put them like that. That is not fair. And so help me, if you do it in front of me, I'm going to punch you in the face. Ironically enough, Tom, I've actually said that to friends.
Fair enough. And I agree wholeheartedly with your sentiment, for sure.
And then people going through a divorce without kids, this is kind of the antithesis of why we're here, but I don't care. If you want to hate your spouse, if you don't have kids, if you want to waste your time fighting and just being bogged down, being miserable over how much you're angry at them, fine. I'm going to tell you right now, it's a waste of your time. It's a waste of your energy. But I mean, you do you. I'll be here whenever you decide to climb out of your hole. If you want help trying to get out of your hole, I'll be here to help you with that too. But I mean, if you want to be miserable, do it. I mean, it's stupid, but I'm not gonna, if it's just you causing yourself misery, I'm not gonna fight you on that. I mean, you're a big boy or girl. Again, it's stupid, but it's your ride, pony boy.
Right, fair enough. Yep. Do you have any advice for people starting out in relationships, and what should they know about divorce?
I think the biggest, I guess, piece of advice I can give for people who are starting to date is don't put on a mask. Don't pretend. Be who you are from the first date. Don't try to make a good impression. I mean, don't be a dirt stick, obviously, but don't be ingenuous. My current wife and I, our first date, we went and got dinner, and then we went to a bar and had a couple of drinks. But we ended up showing each other our feet. And I know that's weird. I get that. But like, there's just so very little from day one. There was absolutely no facade for either of us. And so that way, as we moved forward, there were no like about face surprises. We both knew from that day that both of us were just going to be who we were. And so that way, as the relationship unfolded, whatever surprises were, they were like additions on a new car. Oh, sweet, my car does this. Oh, sweet, my wife does this. Awesome. It wasn't a, well, shit, my car is supposed to have ABS and it doesn't. It was nothing like that. So just be who you are. And that goes, especially if you're entering into a second relationship, very important. The notion of whether you want to have more kids, that needs to be covered quickly. It doesn't have to be covered necessarily on the first date, but it needs to be covered quickly. If you have plans on going somewhere else, that needs to get out in the open. So that way, if you start going down a serious path, you're not blindsiding your partner by it. Because one, that's not fair. But two, again, that goes into the whole, just be honest and be who you are. If you've got ambitions of what you want to do with your life, where staying somewhere or having more kids or having kids in general, something life-changing, if that's going to affect your own personal goals, that needs to be out there. You can't hold that close to the vest. You just can't, because that will doom your relationship. If it doesn't doom the relationship, either one of you has to change your opinion, or one of you is going to end up bitter and resentful. And that is not healthy.
I think that's some great advice for anyone, really, and any relationship for that matter. Is there something that changed while you went through your divorce that you did not expect? For example, I'm a country music fan, and for about a year, I couldn't listen to it at all because it was too real and too honest for me to hear. And so I couldn't listen to it. So I had to switch it up and do other things. But did you have anything like that you didn't expect?
I don't think you're going to like my answer here, Tom. I started getting tattoos and I bought a gun.
No judgment here. as you said, you do you.
and it's funny, and I'm not going to go down. This is a rabbit hole that I'm not going to go down. But It's locked up in a safe. I've maybe shot it 5 times. I don't think I've ever bought a second box of bullets. And now I'm up to, I think, 9 tattoos, and I'm looking to get more.
All right. Yeah. Tattoos are cool.
In my defense, 5 of my tattoos are merely the kids' names and their birthdays. So that way, if somebody asks, all they have to do is lift up a shirt sleeve and go, oh, right there. Okay, got it.
Sure thing. Practical too. Well, Patrick, I appreciate everything that you've talked about. I think people are going to get a lot out of your experiences. And so I'll kind of close up here with my final three questions. First off, having just thought through and spoken about your divorce experience, since this is the Good Divorce Podcast, do you feel your divorce was good in your original definition?
It ended up being good. I was hoping to find a way to work a couple of anecdotes into our discussion, and this is a great time to do that. Lauren runs a daycare, an in-home daycare, and she actually runs daycare for my wife and I, Sandy, our 3 daughters. And so we send my 3 youngest girls to my ex-wife for care purposes. And I trust her absolutely implicitly to make sure that they are cared for and watched over. And I know in every ounce of my being that she adores those girls as much as she's adored any child she's ever watched. But likewise, that means that when my older two come home from school, they get to see their 3 little sisters at least for a couple hours, and then obviously if they're coming here later for the rest of the night. But as part of how her and I have raised Ben and Hannah, Ben and Hannah absolutely adore their 3 little sisters, and there's not a part of that that say it's only a half sister. They are blood. They are family. And I owe so much to Lauren for that. And the other kind of humorous anecdote is Lauren was married a second time to a guy by the name of Dave, and Dave had a son that was Ben's age. And Dave and I coached football together, and it was hysterical the number of parents who would come up and they're like, "So you're married to Lauren, and then you're the ex-husband, and now you guys are coaching together?" And both Dave and I were like, "Yeah." And parents inevitably would just be like, "Sure, okay, yeah, because that makes total sense." But that's how we did it. And again, I love to this day Dave's boys. I know for a fact that he loves my kids. But that's the way it should be, because we focused on the kids. And Lauren and I have gotten past the point where we don't have petty bickering anymore, because, well, I'm too old for that shit, but both of us just have too much good going on in our lives to focus on negative. But that stopped years ago because we realized that, yeah, our marriage didn't work out. Her fault, my fault. Her and I would probably disagree on the reasons, even now. But I don't think either of us disagree that we're both in a better spot now. And I think we're better friends now, excuse me, now than even when we were married. So, good? Yes. I absolutely think our divorce was good.
Well, I definitely have to give you mad respect for both of your stories there. I mean, to me, you can't get much better than having the daycare provider be the ex-wife, or however the different things work out. You know, the former husband and the new husband coaching together. That's mad respect for all of that. And is the reason why I'm doing this podcast, because I want those positive stories out there more. Because as I've talked to more people, I've I pick up little things here and there, and there are lots of positive stories out there, and they need to get out there more so that people can know that this isn't this huge negative bad thing. So I really appreciate your sharing those two stories.
Mm-hmm.
So my next final question is, do you have a book or author or other resource that you found most helpful to you that you would recommend?
Just go through and read the Iowa Supreme Court decisions or the Iowa Appellate Court decisions. That's what I did. I'm kidding. I'm a giant nerd, but no. Again, I didn't. I'm sorry. I wish I had something to give you here. But no, I knew just based on professional experience. A lot of people don't have that insight. I wish I could give you somebody to go look at, but I just don't. I just knew it.
Sure thing. That's all right. I can imagine some people may not have been able to get those resources themselves. So that's perfectly okay. Finally, how can listeners stay connected and engaged with you?
I'm always welcome to respond to emails. So mcmullen.patrick@gmail. I don't have a podcast or a site of my own. I'm too old for that. I don't even have an Instagram account. How pathetic is that? Nor do I have Snapchat.
That's all right.
But yeah, I mean, I'm more than happy to respond to emails. And if it requires something more specific, shoot me a question. We can always talk over the phone. Because my cell phone doubles as my work number, I'd prefer not to give that out at this point. But yeah, if people have questions, Tom, by all means, whenever you post this, wherever, feel free to include my email. I would welcome the chance to help people with questions. I would imagine Lauren, her sister Erin, and then Erin's former spouse Chad. I would tend to think that all of us, and I'm not speaking for them, but I tend to think that all of us want the same thing. So, you know, people have questions, reach out.
All right. I appreciate that. And yes, I will include your email for listeners to get in contact with you if they so desire.
Perfect.
Well, Patrick, I really appreciate you taking the time to join me tonight and to share your story here on the Good Divorce podcast. It's always been interesting for me to hear other stories. Thank you very much for deciding to be a part of this. I really appreciate it.
More than happy to. If I can just one more shameless plug.
Sure.
I will tell whoever ends up listening to this that it is infinitely easier to go through a divorce when you've got a former partner who is willing to work with you. And I could not have done this, and my kids could not have turned out into the people that they are without their mother. Lauren deserves every ounce of respect and support as anything I've ever done. She's been wonderful. So kudos to her as well.
Absolutely. Yes. That's a good point. Something I can probably take forward on in further episodes is that it really does take a team, the two parents, the two people to work together to make it good. So that's an excellent point. I'm glad you said that. Thank you.
Do you have a divorce story you want to share? Do you know someone who would be willing to tell their story? Please check out the Good Divorce Podcast page on Facebook for additional information, or email your guest suggestions to gooddivorcepodcast@gmail.com. Everyone has a story to tell, and I would love to hear and share yours. If you've enjoyed this episode and others, I hope you'll consider a contribution to help support the software and hosting services required to make this podcast a reality. I do not have plans to include advertisements, so if you're inclined, you can support the podcast by contributing to PayPal at tkendrick179 or on Venmo at Tom Kendrick. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Good Divorce Podcast. To learn more, please find the Good Divorce Podcast page on Facebook. You can also find other social media posts on Instagram at Good Divorce Podcast and on Twitter at Divorce Good. I hope you've enjoyed this story. Together, we can find and live the good in a tough situation.